Hello, everyone. This is Jaime Guerra with UT. I'd like to call to order the Greater Austin Area Telecommunications Network Technical Subcommittee meeting for June 15th, 2021. The time now is 1:30 p.m. We will start with our agenda item number one, call to order. If network management could lead us through a roll call.
My name is Sarah Eichelberger, and I will call the roll. Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos, Gatton.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
John Colemorgan, Austin ISD.
Present.
Harold Nall, UT.
Present.
Steve Pyle, DIR.
Present.
And for contractors, we have Doug Wilson with JC Communications.
Present.
And Chris Gonzalez with Bricom.
Present.
A quorum has been established.
Thank you, Sarah. This is Jaime again. Agenda item number two, citizens communication. Do we have any today?
No, sir.
Okay, hearing none, let's move on to agenda item number three. In your packet, you have the minutes from our, May 18th, 2021 meeting. Please take a few minutes to review.
This is Gary. Motion to approve.
This is Jaime. It sounds like Gary made a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
This is Steve. I second.
This is Jaime. Gary's made a motion and Steve's made a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, can management lead us through a roll call vote?
This is Sarah and I'll call the vote. Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Anthony Breckenridge.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Colemorgan.
Aye.
And Steve Pyle.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
Thank you. This is Jaime again. Agenda item number four is our maintenance contractors report.
This is Chris with Brightcom. Since our last meeting, we've completed the inspections of A2N and B1N with 16 corrected deficiencies between the two rings. Nothing out the norm to report regarding the maintenance. We do have one more cycle till the beginning of the new fiscal year coming next month. Please let me know if you have any questions. Okay, hearing none, onto the maintenance. I'm sorry, onto the inventory. All right, the only change to the inventory on May 29th, we used 1,104 feet off reel number R709. This was for the Super Ring North emergency repair at 290 and Cameron Road. Let me know if you have any questions regarding the inventory.
Okay, thank you for the maintenance contractors report, Chris. Moving on the agenda, item number five is the network manager's report.
Yes, this is Frank, and I'm going to go over the first item here, which is 5A. This is an update and to also serve as a notification to the members. And there is a new two-step process regarding the CGIS portion of this topic, and I've sent out notification inclusive of the details, and I'm awaiting responses from the vendors and Gatton entities. So if you would, please see those emails I've sent you in regards to this. And this is what it speaks to. So I'm going to go over the two steps that are now the process for CGIS compliance. So the city is going to set up your entity as administrator within the CGIS system, and the city will notify the admin of your entity if it is not remaining compliant thereafter. So what we need is for you to please send me your administrator contact information. If you don't have one or are not able to participate in this, I need to know. If you do have an admin that can track this for your entity, what I need is the name, email, and phone number of that person. And that person will be contacted by APD for account setup. I think this is a good process that the city has come up with to ensure that folks remain CGIS compliance. Step two of this process is to go to www.cgisonline.com and log in. If you or your employees are accessing the link for the first time, all you have to do is give me the name, email, and phone number for each, and I will forward that to APD, Austin Police Department, and they will make contact to set them up on the CGIS website. So everything I mentioned there regarding the two steps are CGIS compliance changes. The CBI remains the same as it has been, with the exception now being that CTM, which is a department that network management is in, will monitor this list along with APD and send out notifications to network management about CBIs that are not cleared, and will maintain the list of those who are active. Just to let you know, just as a reminder, network management sent out notifications of several entity CGIS certifications that are expired, and there are several on that list set to expire in July. So please be mindful of this and continue to send the certifications to me as they are completed. I've received multiple certifications from our vendors and about half a handful from our entities. We're still in need of those. Any questions in regards to that topic?
Frank, this is Jaime. Just for my clarification, these certifications and background checks are required to access any City of Austin node site, or just particular ones?
Any.
Okay. And my next question is, an escorting is not allowed. Is that correct?
Escorting is not allowed among the entities or vendors. Carlos and I can escort although it's not always feasible for us to do so and not recommended, we can always escort, you know, the need of emergency or something of that effect. We don't mind doing that. Something pops up. But a Gatton entity or vendor that has employee that has a badge cannot escort someone who does not.
Okay. So, for example, if there is at one of our NOCs, something that requires a subcontractor to look into, they would have to be escorted by network management or somebody else with the city of Austin.
No, if the preferred method is if there is a contractor or vendor that needs to look at something, for example, as a NOC, as you've mentioned, that contractor needs to be CJIS certified with a CBI cleared and a badge in hand to access the facility themselves.
My thought is a water pipe bus or something, and the contractor needs to go in there to do work. I don't think we're going to wait around for them to get CJIS certified, are we?
No, as I had mentioned previously, if they're, an event of emergency and someone needs to get in there for such an emergency, then yeah, Gatton Network Management would be your, they're not badged, then Gatton Network Management would be your pipeline to do so.
Okay.
Frank, this is John. Can you talk about a couple different things, how each entity's CJIS and CBI requirements apply to the city of Austin and how you guys view those compliance procedures? And then second of all, can you elaborate why if a Gatton, entity was cleared and compliant, we couldn't escort a vendor in?
Okay. Yeah. So for the city, there's two types of certifications that I've received from our vendors and or entities, and there's a level 2 and a level 4 type of certification. So I know for a fact, for example, Travis County also requires CJIS certification, and some of the certifications have come through that type of training or that type of CJIS compliance. So that's all that the city's asking for, is that they're CJIS compliant. Both the level 2 and level 4 has been accepted by APD. So it's not necessarily that, you have to come through the city for the CJIS compliance. They just want to see that you're CJIS compliant. And what was the second part of your question, John? I'm sorry.
So how does our compliance, procedures align with the city of Austin's, so that we're trying to work together in unison? And second of all, is there a method for Gatton entities to be able to escort? I mean, you said the network management could escort people. Is there a process that, a member of the entity could escort a vendor in as needed?
There's not a process in place for that. We are, I am working with Carlos, and I in particular are working with the CTM group, the Communications Technology Management Group with the city of Austin, which is our department, to create an SOP for this entire process, because it's now going from APD to CTM. Our data center operations folks are tracking this list now, and we're working closely with them, having multiple meetings a week currently in regards to this same subject. So I don't have an answer for you on that one right now, other than no. I've asked that question, and I've been told no, that no escorting is allowed unless it's a city of Austin employee escorting someone into a city of Austin facility. But I can reapproach them with that. And I thought that would be a good subject matter to discuss during the standard operating procedure. So I'll have to follow up with you on how that comes out. As of now, it's a firm no, that nobody, unless they're a city of Austin employee, can escort anyone into a city of Austin facility. It's the same principle. You guys know that when you showed up in my office in years past, I'm coming out to meet you. You're not able to walk in with, or you're not able to bring another employee of yours in just because you have a badge.
Yeah, I understand. Although, we've just spent, almost $2 million on a NOC. It would be nice that we, in that facility that is not a super high secure, it's not like it's a, you know, a CTEC site or something like that, that, you know, possibly we could be allowed to, you know, escort a vendor in for, you know, an emergency purpose or whatever.
Well, I tell you, like I said, I've already brought that question up. We're going to readdress it again. And I think, you know, it's going to be really important. You know, Ruben's not here today. Anthony's in as the alternate. So Anthony, you know, it's going to be really important from a City of Austin board member standpoint that that's, you know, that's brought up and spoke to about the City of Austin from a Gatton standpoint. And I'm there to speak to that as well, of course, to represent Gatton. But, you know, I'm going to need the City of Austin board member with the City of Austin board member, I mean, Gatton board hat on to speak to this as well.
Understood.
I completely understand. Are you, so like we had sent you some of our CEGIS compliant certifications, I guess you don't have insight into that, so you need everybody's cert sent to you every year, I guess, then? Is this an annual thing?
It's every 2 years.
Every 2 years?
Yeah, and I'm following up with those that have sent me their certificates or the admin. Like, for example, each of our vendors have a contact person that, you know, I'm contacting instead of contacting each individual employee. And following up with them once we receive the certificates, and nothing has been denied in regards to CEGIS. There's still just a couple of date of births that I need from that original email that I sent and that follow up email. I think there's two people that I still need a date of birth from. There's a couple from Travis County I've already received. I think both of them are with Travis County that I need that still remain. I'm not sure whether or not they're still with Travis County, but I'll reach out to Dane in regards to those two. And that's all that's left on the list besides the ones that are, you know, that say either expired or set to expire from what I recall in July.
Okay. I didn't know if you could get like a report out of CEGIS online as to, you know, all the entities that have taken the, you know, or members of the entities that have you know, taken the test and are compliant. Seems like there should be some efficiencies there somehow, somewhere.
I don't know if the CEGIS website would provide that, but that's a good question. I can't imagine that it would, you know, for your entity or allow a third party like me or someone else to look up whether or not you're CEGIS compliant, whether the, you know, your staff is CEGIS compliant or not. But that's a good question. I'll look into that, John, and follow up with you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I could give, you know, permission for, you know, somebody in CTM to see my compliance or something, you know.
Okay.
It seemed to make it a little bit easier for everybody.
Yeah, it certainly would. Agreed. So let me write that down real quick. Question.
Because I suspect almost every entity goes through a similar process within their own entity.
I'll look into that and follow up. I'll follow up with the tech committee in regards to it.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. 5B is the, I wanted to add this to the agenda today for Gatton Austin Energy poll application update. So as you all know, we continue to work with Austin Energy and the Gatton vendors to better understand delays of projects related to AE denials. This has been an ongoing process since 2017. It's, you know, it's had its peaks and valleys. It's gotten, you know, it was worse before it got better. It seems like in the last couple months or 2 months ago, it's gotten better. But just an update here, which I think is some good news. Ruben Reyes and I met with our new CTM acting deputy CIO last week, who's a former executive from Austin Energy. So I've been waiting to meet with him to discuss this very topic to help us further along our, you know, our priorities with Austin Energy. And he, in this meeting, he is very familiar with Gatton and the concerns raised previously as related to the Gatton ILA and delays that we've encountered. He informed Ruben and I that the AE supervisor is not with AE any longer that I worked with trying to get these delays and questions answered. And I don't know if you all recall or not, but there was a large, you know, there's a big struggle trying to get straight answers on exactly why these were being delayed. In particular, the fact that we aren't A1N being an example, we aren't Travis County Courthouse being another example. We aren't new attachments to the pole. We're existing, and we're just trying to remove our existing fiber and place new fiber in its place. So without this person being there, the person that has replaced her, I have worked with her for a long time, and I think she's going to be available and maybe possibly able to assist us further going down the road. I had speakings with her in the past. She's the person that met with Gatton at a Gatton board meeting in the past, and she relayed that her hands were tied in regards to this due to her supervisor and management. So I'm hoping that now that she's in this position, she'll be able to help. So the acting deputy CIO, for CTM, Ruben and I will be meeting with AE next week to better understand the delays related to pole detachments, and in particular projects where we are replacing fiber while not only actually creating a new attachment, but are still being denied and charged for make-ready costs to do so. So I thought it would be a good time to approach AE, being the AE changes, and now that my supervisor, who is the deputy CIO, acting deputy CIO, is available to us, he has the means and the knowledge to understand both sides of the discussion and is in a position to assist Gatton, I believe, greatly in this process. So fingers crossed on that. Are there any questions in regards to that one? Okay, I'm going to go into 5C, which is the Gatton Backup NOC status update. You're going to see two handouts regarding this update, with the first being the two-week look-ahead schedule illustrating what is on the calendar for the build-out of the backup NOC. So go ahead and please take a moment and let me know if you have any questions regarding that schedule. Okay, hearing none, I'm going to go on to the second handout for this topic. The second handout is related to a request to illustrate the funding of the backup NOC as a whole. And we'll just go through this together to make sure everybody understands this. Page one represents the payment to Public Works for the management of the build out along with procurement, the room build out itself by Spalglass, bringing in A1N and A2N into the backup NOC for redundant service via JC Communications, and lastly, the terminations within the facility to be completed by Broadcom. So that's what you're going to see as requested on page one. Page two illustrates open POs within the City of Austin for the work that has taken place, which represents amounts, expenses, and balances along with the total amount paid by Gatton, total allocated by the City of Austin to date, with the remaining funds to be allocated allocated or returned to Gatton. So this is hopefully fulfilled the request for the breakout of to capture a snapshot or to present and illustrate total expenditures related to this backup NOC. Are there any questions?
Frank, this is Jaime. Which one of these categories has the card reader that I thought we'd have to pay directly to the convention center or maybe some other City of Austin group for?
Yeah, so we don't have that captured yet, so it's not listed on here. This is just to date.
Okay.
Any other questions in regards? So just also to note, there has been an invite sent out for a walkout of the site scheduled for tomorrow at 11 a.m. We've had a few people accept that as of today. And another is set for the 21st at 2 p.m., which is Tuesday of next week. So there's a couple opportunities there for you should you like to walk the site out. And we also have pictures available to you should you like to see the current status via the SharePoint site.
Frank, I think you meant Monday of next week.
Is that the 21st? I apologize. Is it Monday? Let's see. Yep, you're correct. Scratch Tuesday. It is Monday. Thank you, Dane. Okay, moving on to the project status report. This thing will open up for me here. All right, so for active projects, we have the B1 South splice case audit. It's ongoing, set to be complete. I'm sorry. Yeah, this one's still in progress. It's showing as a completion of 6/4/21. We're still waiting for some paperwork to come in for this, so we'll be updating that date. Sorry for the late date on that one. We'll address that in our meeting tomorrow as a network management team and get that shored up. Gatton completed projects are Superine North temporary repair at Cameron Road, Highway 290. That's the, during the inclement weather took place, the lightning strike where the pole was apparently struck, and then a possible tear down took place. And we'll be speaking to this site a little bit later in the meeting. We have the A1N upgrade project segment 3 that is has completed as well. And that's it for completed projects since the last meeting. For entity specific completed projects, we have D1 South Sanchez Elementary School, which completed on the 10th of this month. And that's all I have for the project status report. Is there any questions? Hearing none, Sarah, would you go into the job budget report, please?
This is Sarah. We're currently tracking 38 jobs totaling $1.8 million. Of those 38 jobs, 18 have been completed. We've been invoiced for $806,000 so far. $1 million is encumbered. Most of that will move to FY22. As you saw from the project status report, we don't have any more jobs except for that splice case audit that are scheduled to be completed by the end of this year. So most of those projects will move to FY22. Looking at page 2 of the job budget sheet, that is the FY22 projects that have been approved thus far. Those are 3 jobs totaling $287,000, leaving $365,000 remaining for additional projects. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Hey, this is Jaime. Any questions on this job budget report? All right, hearing none, let's move on to agenda item 6. For agenda item 6A through 6E, we do have prints associated with it. So I'm going to go ahead and take us to executive session under Texas Government Code 418.181 and 551.089. The time now is 1:59 p.m. and we are now going into executive session. The items 6A, 6B, 6C, I'd like to recommend for board approval, City of Austin new node at B2S Marshalling Yard, UT new node on A1 North at Colorado Apartments, and a UT new node on A1 North at Gateway Apartments. These are all entity specific projects at no cost to Gatton. That is my motion.
This year, second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second by Gary. Is there any further discussion on 6A, 6B, 6C? Hearing none, Sarah, please lead us through a roll call vote.
Okay. Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Anthony Breckenridge.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Colmorgan.
Aye.
And Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Those are approved or recommended for approval.
Okay. Agenda item 6D, I'd like to motion that we recommend for board approval two options for Gatton Super Ring North permanent repair at Highway 290 and Cameron Road. Do we have a second?
This year. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, Sarah, please lead us to a roll call.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Anthony Breckenridge.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Colmorgan.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
That's a unanimous recommendation.
Okay. Agenda item 6E, I'd like to make a motion to approve of AISD's use of Gatton Conduit at Crockett High School for a third-party internet service provider.
This is Gary, second.
Okay, we have a motion second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, please lead us through the roll call vote.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Anthony Breckenridge.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Colmorgan.
Aye.
And Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Unanimous recommendation.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Agenda item number 7, we just had our executive session. Agenda item number 8 will confirm date, time, and location of the next technical subcommittee meeting as July 27th, 2021, 1:30 p.m. via teleconference. The time now is 2:49 p.m., and this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you for your participation.